Kevin Stallings. His team headed on the road to play South Carolina tomorrow night. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Doing just fine, Kevin. How are you?
Doing well, and you know, got news yesterday that Mark Gottfried is out at Alabama. And we had Joe Fisher, of course, on earlier this morning, and he was talking about how it kind of reflects a new way of doing things in college sports, and that you'll see a coaching move in the middle of the season.
Well, unfortunately, it seems as though in some instances our profession is moving a little closer to the pro professional ranks of how they do business relative to firing coaches, which is I don't like that trend, not just from the standpoint of job security, but just kind of the overall message that it sends and the things that that it represents, and to me that's very unfortunate.
You know, over the course of a season, or, you know, maybe during the off season or whenever it might be, how much time do you really spend talking with the other head coaches at the other schools in the league?
Well, you know, we probably spend the most time at the league meetings. We're down, you know, in the SEC down in Destin for a couple of days around Memorial Day, and so you get to know, in most cases, you get to know the other coaches, their wives, some of their kids, you know, their families, and Mark was one that we got to know. He and his wife Elizabeth have five children, and our kids would be running around the pool, and so you know, it's one of those things that kind of hits home and makes you sort of makes you sad, because you know how a family feels and what kind of pain, and you know, it's part of the profession, obviously, but you really feel, as when I talked to Mark last night, you really feel for the wife and the kids. You know, as coaches, we kind of know that's a possibility when we get in the profession, but I think it's a lot harder on the families.
For your team, you head on the road now and play in Columbia tomorrow night. Maybe a good thing to get away from Nashville for a day or two and play a game on the road?
Well, everybody's kind of suggested that, and under normal circumstances, I would say maybe so. You know, but it still comes down, Kevin, to playing well, and you know, we've got to play better, and our, you know, our front line guys have to play better in order for us to have a chance to be successful, whether it's at home or on the road. So venue is not going to matter nearly as much as performance.
Kevin, one of the things that really hit home with me in listening to your post-game show on Sunday was just that you had to stay positive with these guys, that tearing into them wasn't going to do any good. And I thought that was, you know, I guess yelling at them would be the easy way out. But talk about how you have to be concerned as much about them from the neck up as the neck down.
Well, I think that, you know, it's easy, whether it's coach or players or whatever, to get into the blame game. You know, you can say that you can just start pointing fingers, and that's the thing that we're going to stay away from. I mean, now there are some facts in this equation that are unavoidable, but at the same time, if the players are trying and if they are coachable, which for the most part, these guys have tried very hard and have been very coachable, then there's no sense in browbeating them, because if they're trying to do the best they can, then that's really all they can do. And again, we're not hitting on very many cylinders, let alone all cylinders, but this is one where it's not going to do the players any good, our team any good, or the coaches any good for that matter, to get on them hard. And now there are certain things that they have to know that are unacceptable, but at the same time, this is not a case of a bunch of bad attitude guys that aren't giving any effort.
We're speaking to Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings. Among the things that you saw in Sunday's game early were a few good minutes from Festus Ezeli, you know, sort of getting a glimpse of what he can be. And obviously he is still really almost in the tricycle stage in terms of learning his basketball. But, you know, looking at some of the things he did down low, Kevin, you know, I guess we got a little tease as to what maybe, you know, what kind of player he can be.
Well, unfortunately, and fortunately, but mostly unfortunately, Festus has been forced into this situation to where he's now having to become a much more productive offensive member of our team. I don't know that he's completely ready for that, but unfortunately, that is that's what's been sort of forced upon him because of AJ's situation and the fact that, you know, the injury and the sickness and the lack of productivity from AJ. So, you know, we're taking a guy who is probably, for all intents and purposes, not ready to be a frontline guy, and now we're having to ask him for the, at least for the time being, to be a frontline guy. And so I thought Festus did well. I thought he gave us good minutes. I thought he tried very hard, and I did think that he showed some signs of hopefully what we're going to see in the future on a more consistent basis.
Kevin, how do you approach that just with a player? Do you just kind of you challenge him, you call him out maybe a little bit in front of the guys to get him to kind of step it up? Do you have a private conversation with him? How do you usually approach those types of challenges when guys have to step up, or is it just one of those, you know, given things that, hey, one guy's down, next guy has to step up?
Well, I think that until you find the reason, Frank, of as to why, you know, if the struggles are merely injury and sickness related, you know, then you have to wait those out. But if it's more than that, then I think that depending upon that player's personality, then, you know, I've done both. I've called them out. And I'm not saying in this season,
right.
But in the past, I've done, you know, I've done it all different ways. Had private meetings. Had one particular instance where with Matt Parigi, I made him spend an entire day with me. He had to come in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he literally, and it was on a day off, and he had to spend the entire day with me. I think by about 6 o'clock that night, he was finished with me. So he decided that playing better was a lot more. It was worth a lot more than having to spend that kind of time with me. But nevertheless, I've tried all different things as a head coach with different guys like that.
All right, Matt, now we're going to watch 1982 World Series highlights, followed by Purdue basketball highlights.
You know, actually, what I made him do that day, is I didn't actually make him do it. He wanted to, but I took him to, Jacob was in middle school, and I took him to one of Jacob's middle school basketball games. He had to sit in that game with me.
Coach, as we wrap up here, you guys play South Carolina. They have a new coach in Darren Horn, and, you know, we all saw the success he had up at Western. How are they doing things differently with a lot of the same players that Dave Odom had last season?
Well, I think the fact that they've got experienced guards and you know, basically everybody on the team that was on the team a year ago, and I think sometimes when a coach comes in, you know, there's a freshness and all of that, and I think that they've experienced that with Darren, and Darren's put them in positions to play basketball. You know, Devin Downey is a very creative guy with the basketball, and Darren's style of play is, you know, it's kind of one-on-one driven. You just get the ball and drive it, and you either drive it for yourself or drive it and kick it to somebody else, and he's got some guys that can really handle that system that he inherited. So I think that they've taken to his style very quickly, and they're playing very good basketball.